Blog Talk Radio. God, the mighty God, the holy God, the righteous God. He is Emmanuel, the great I am. He is the lily of the valley, the early morning star. He is greater than great. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning, for this time to come to this glorious table, O God, and declare that you are Lord, that you are Savior, that you are Redeemer, that you are the soon coming King. We just bless you and praise you. Lord, if we had 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough for all that you have done and all that you are doing. For truly this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. We are not going to get glad. We are glad. Because you have allowed us entrance to this day. There are many that were here on yesterday in some part of the world, but they're not here today. But we are still here because you kept us, and you kept us through the night and brought us into this wonderful day. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, and we ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We ask, O God, that you look upon us in the frailty of our stature, O God, and that you extend that glorious mercy, unmerited favor to us this day. Lord, we ask you to heal our body, heal our mind, and heal our spirit, O God, and strengthen our flesh that it will not be distracted by the things of this world. Father, we ask you to continue to connect us with others that are like-minded, that have hunger and thirst for righteousness, Father. And Lord, give us that heart of compassion for those that are less fortunate than us. Lord, that we don't walk with high-mindedness, O God, or stiff-necked, or rebellious, O God. We ask, God, that you bless the airways, the north, the south, the east, and the west, this morning as we declare and decree this word that you have given to us this day to your people. And Father, let it do exactly what we're setting out to do by your Spirit. That somebody would get healed, somebody would get delivered, somebody would be restored. Yes, Lord. Somebody's needs will be met today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're talking about he will protect you and empower you to be his witness. He will protect you and empower you to be his witness. So you have no need to be afraid when you are going out evangelizing or preaching or teaching, sharing the gospel, because he will protect you and he has already empowered you to do what he has called you to do. We're going to come out of Zechariah chapter 4. We've got a lot of scripture, so I'm probably going to do a part two of this sometime next week if the Lord say the same. And we are still in the land of the living. Zechariah 4. And he will protect you. He will empower you.
Mm-hmm.
To
Amen.
To be a witness. Thank you, Brother Deacon. So many people want to go out on their own merits, on their own intelligence, on their own strength. But we, you and I, all of us, we need to seek the Lord for instructions. The power is in the instructions. Do you know that? The power is in the instructions. But when we get the instructions, we have to obey. We can't alter the instructions to suit our need or our feelings or our emotions. We have to follow. You know, we've been teaching a lot about Ezekiel, from Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. And you know that every time that he called this man, and the Bible said that in the narration that Ezekiel was an elite priest. He was one of the elite prophets. And he came from an elite priesthood. His father and all of those, his kinfolk, was in the priestly offices. And he, when God calls him, he only did exactly what God said. He didn't do what Ezekiel wanted to do. He listened intentively to hear what God was instructing him. And then he went ahead and do exactly what God said. We say, well, you know, I've been studying for this stuff and I was studying that. And the Lord said this and said that. But I got this thing in my mind. It just come to me. Because we got a feeling that it sounds good, it feels good to us, and we want to put it out of the airways. We want to put it off all across the sanctuary because we want people to say that we are well educated and we can declare the truth the way we feel like, but not what God say. See, what God is sending out over the airways today and every day is a word of repentance, because the people are going so far left now that without repentance they can't get back. Without repentance, we cannot keep on the journey that we are on. We have to repent every single day. We can't get to a place that we feel that we have already gotten it together and we don't have to repent anymore. That's when the enemy comes in. The Bible says he comes in like a flood. He comes in and he puts so much on us that we can't even contend. We can't even stand. Don't get the big head like we got it together. God says stay connected. Now, here in this book of Zechariah, and, there's two books that sounds very like Zechariah and Zephaniah, so you have to be careful. And plus, I have an accent, so please pay attention. I've been living here over 40-plus years, and I still have a lot of my accent. Not as strong as my daughter and my grandsons and that live in Georgia. They accent, you would hardly understand anything they're saying, you know. But I have been working in the field of service as a service technician and had my own business in the construction field. So I had to slow down a lot for the Caucasians to understand what I was saying. So in slowing down, I was able to speak a little plain, and I also have a speech impediment. You may notice it, but when I was growing up, we didn't have the money. We were poor, very poor. And so we didn't have the money to, my parents didn't have the money. My mother, at least, because she raised the children by herself. My father was an alcoholic. Let me say he was a drunkard. And that's the truth. He wasn't just an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. He couldn't go without alcohol. So he had an account at the liquor store. They knew him. He was he continued to work, though. He could work. I mean, he could get drunk the night, and he would still get up in the morning and go to work. But he had to go to the liquor store as soon as he get off. You know, and most of the times, he would keep a bottle in his pocket. You know, he would keep a flask in his pocket. So he didn't care too much for us. He was just sufficing and satisfying his vice. And my mom, she raised us doing domestic work. We called it domestic work, but really she was a slave to the people to raise the children. So she couldn't send me to the speech therapist to get to work on my tongue. But anyway, here in this book of Zechariah, let's start at verse 1. And this prophet is saying, he said, and the angel talked with me. And the angel talked with me and came again and wake me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what sayest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Now here, these seven lamps, referring to the seven churches. You see that in the book of Revelation. This book is it's parallel with Revelation, the book of Daniel, and the book of Ezekiel. So, the angel is showing him the churches, but in this metaphor, or using this analogy. And he asks him, Zechariah, a question. See, a lot of times we don't want people to ask us questions because we believe that we are this or we are that, and that we have so much education that nobody can ask us anything or tell us anything. And that's our greatest mistake right there. We feel that we are so intelligent. We have spent so much time in ministry that nobody can tell us anything. I got a young man on the line that I love, but I don't like when he goes off and allow his flesh to take place. But I tell him every time, and he know. He say, I'm going to tell him. Pastor going to tell him the truth, even if he get upset. You know, but he teach me, he have taught me a lot of things. And, it may not seem a lot to him or to people, but to me, he taught me something. Because my spirit man can jump off the edge of the cliff in a minute. I'm just going to tell the truth. If somebody had offended me, let me say it this way, past tense, my spirit can jump off the edge of the cliff, and I become like the Incredible Hulk. But listen, over the 6 years or so with Brother Deacon, he has taught me something that people can say a whole bunch. Even though you get agitated in your spirit, man, you don't have to activate your emotions. You don't have to jump off. You know, and he taught me that. You would say, well, he told me that. I can't. Let me tell you something. Just listen. That young man will teach you something. He will teach you something. People call him all kinds of names. Oh, he this and he that. And the first people he prayed for, them same people, the same exact people that call him names and talk behind his back. And he know. And he had go back with them and pray for them, intercede for them. I said, my God. And I said, Lord, say, the Lord said some time back, he said, see this young man watching. He said, watch and see how the people talk about him. And he know. And still, he praying for them. He interceded for them. In my flesh, I was saying, man, I ain't going to pray for them people. But he taught me that. It doesn't matter what they say about you. Whatever they cut you up, pray for them. Intercede for them. Zechariah here in this text here is so powerful. And two olive trees by it. The two olive trees are by the house of the Lord. One upon the right side, they're at the altar of the bowl. And the other upon the left side thereof. Now, this is talking about these two witnesses. Some people say that it's Moses and Enoch. Some people say this as Elisha and Moses. I believe it's Elisha and Moses, because these are the two witnesses that show up to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So I believe this is Moses and Elijah. We're talking about he will protect you and empower you to be a witness. Most of the times we as believers or leaders, we try to operate on our own, on our emotions. And we think that we are anointed. Listen to me. Myself is in there, so we. And we think that we are so anointed, but we are not tapping into the power source, which is Jesus, Yeshua, to draw from his vesture like the woman with the issue of blood. We're not tapping in. This is why you're not seeing the manifestation of his power in our ministry as it should be. Listen to me. Jesus said the works that he did, we should do in even greater works. But you're not seeing greater works. You're seeing a lot of people conjuring up a lot of emotional actions, like Apostle was talking about. Actions speak louder than words yesterday. People are operating in this motivational movement that is not bringing glory to God. Nobody getting healed. Nobody getting delivered. No, people are hard again saved because they're giving you this motivational teaching instead of teaching the truth right from the book. Pastor said yesterday, so I don't have any notes. Most of the time that I'm teaching, I don't have notes. I got several folders down here like some of you all have in your home. Several folders full of sermons. But it became too much for me when I'm traveling. They're too heavy. So Lord said, leave the folders alone. Just come straight from the book. I'll give you what you need. Here, listen. This is only 14 verses. Now, you know I like to work the whole roll. He says, so I answer and speak to the angels that talk with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Zechariah, he's interested in, he's seeing all of these different objects. The angel is talking about these things, and he doesn't understand. A lot of times we don't get what we need because we don't want to ask questions. I remember when I was going to the school of theology and the teacher, there was a woman, she was a woman elder. Elder Izzy wrote several books in Virginia. And she was teaching the class. And she said, well, if anybody have questions, just ask. And that was their biggest mistake. She was tired of me in that class. I'm telling you, because every time I get, she says something I didn't understand. I said, I put up my hand. She said, what you want? She would say, she would say to me, what's now, Brother David? She said, what's now, brother? Because I'm going to ask her, well, what's the meaning to that you're saying? It sounds so highfalutin. I said, what's the meaning to what you're saying? I said, I asked her so much. She said, I'll take over the class because I want to know. I didn't know. I didn't know. And a lot of times folks don't want to ask questions because they think people might think that they don't know much and you're preaching and teaching the gospel. Well, look, I ask people questions. I ask. If I don't know, sometimes if I can't get in touch with somebody, I go to Google. I was telling Apostle, yeah, I go to Google and I Google stuff to get some information, get more in depth of what I want to get the understanding through. He said he asked the angel. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, nor but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The angel now begin to break down a little bit, but the angel is still not giving him the full interpretation of what he's shown him. He's not giving them yet, but he's going to give it to them. And I think God must protect us. He will. We belong to him. He purchased us with his blood at Calvary. So he's going to protect us just like you would do anything for your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, because you figured to yourself, these are mine. This is blood of my blood and bone, or flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. You are saying this to yourself. We said that most times that when something is going on in the family, the woman would hold her belly while her children. She feel the need of her son. She feel the need of her daughter. The father would say, look, it's going to be all right. The father feel a little something, but he don't feel what the mother feel. I got my son here now. I lost my daughter in 2017. But I tell you something. My wife feels every pain. I mean, when the phone rang, I jump. I said, the phone rang at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I jump. And if it's my son on the phone before he was locked up, I said, oh, my Lord, what he doing now? What he getting into now? But I can go back and turn over and go back to sleep. But my wife couldn't go back to sleep. Because she could feel her son needs. He needs help. He's in trouble. She carried him for 9 months. The man only planted a seed. But she carried that seed till it developed in her womb for 9 months. Listen to me, man. I'm telling you something today. Here we got to ask questions because we don't have the answers. He said, I doubt a great mountain before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace unto it. See, he began to talk about the power. You are in the army of God. And God is setting you up to do great, great works. In this text here, he was talking about military power. But what happened is that we are in the greatest army of the world. We are in God's army. But sometimes we become like butterflies or like snails. We don't move, or we move too slow. We don't know the power that we have that has been given to us. We don't investigate the power that has been given to us, the authority that we have. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, 1 and 2, he said, he have given them power and authority to tread upon serpents, to heal, and to proclaim the gospel, the kingdom of God. We don't understand what we have, cast out devils. We don't understand. We don't investigate it. You know, most of the time what we focus on, let me tell you what we focus on. We focus on, if I stay in the ministry, I'm going to get the fine house. I'm going to find a nice wife. I'm going to find a nice husband. I'm going to get some money in the bank. We focus on that. We're going to be like Bishop so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, you know. They stayed in there. And we get hooked up with all of these different high-polluted preachers so we can be established in this earth realm. God says much more than that. God says, I want you to operate in my power and in my authority. That's why he says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. See, he wants us to get into that vein where the anointing flows through us and we can do great exploits. This is what he said. Look. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation that of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. What you have started, what the Lord has begun in you, he will complete. You may run, we may run, here, run, there, trying to hide from doing what the Lord said, just like Jonah. But at the end, we're going to end up just right where God wants us to be. Hear me today. This is for somebody who don't want to step out on the water like Peter. Like the other disciples. You lay in the boat. But God knows there's somebody in the boat that's going to take the initiative to step out on the water when he calls. Not when they want to, but when he calls, they're going to step out on the water. I bet you hear all this stuff that he's giving to me right now. All this stuff you hear, the little stuff that he, this interjection that he's giving me, this is given to me. We got to step out on the water. You say, well, I've been planning this for a long time, and I'm still waiting on the Lord. No, the Lord says I'm waiting on you. He's waiting on us to step out on the water. He's already on the water. Do you know that? He's already on the water, just like he was when he called Peter, when he bid Peter to come to him. All of them at a disciples probably could have walked on the water if they just take the initiative to get up on the boat and step out. They had the mind to walk on the water. They probably had the mind to walk on the water. But they allowed fear to captivate them and keep them in the box. They would step out. Here, let me tell you something. The word of God, he started this foundation, the foundation of God's house. God says, it's time for you to get up and do what he called you to do. We're not doing anything. We're just sitting there waiting. God's not waiting on you. He's waiting on us. Listen to what he says. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet of the hand of the Zerubbabel, however you pronounce it, with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, as you go to the book of Revelation, keep your finger there. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 2. And let's look at 2. Quick. Revelation chapter 2. Apostle talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And 8 and 9. And he talks here about the churches. And there's two particular churches that God has his eyes on. He's looking at all the churches. But these two that he gave the chance to get it right. They had some stuff together. He said to Smyrna in verse 8, unto the angel of the church, he's talking to the pastor, in Smyrna, write these things, says the first and the last, says Jesus, because he's the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works. I want you to know that God knows all of our works. We cannot hide anything from him. I want all of us to know that. We can slip and slide and slip and dip however we want to. God sees every slide. He sees every dip. He sees it all. His eyes go to and fro. He says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, But out of synagogue of Satan, you see that so many people are proclaiming that they're this or that. But when they get in behind closed doors, they operate under the satanic anointing. Satan got some anointing too. I want you to know that. It's not a righteous anointing as God anointed. His anointing is evil or destructive. That's his type of anointing. He says, I know thy works. See, God know everything we're doing. I told you that before. Now here, if you look at Revelation chapter 3, keep your hands there in Zechariah. We're coming back there. Revelation chapter 3, let's go to 3. And let's start at verse 7. He says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. See, here it is again. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. See, God is the one that, as I said, he protects you, protects us, and empowers us to be witnesses. Hallelujah. When God opened doors for us, nobody can close them. And when he closed doors, we ought not try to go back through them. Hallelujah. Don't let no one entice you to go back through the doors that God has closed. Listen to me. They're going to give you stuff and offer you stuff to get you come back through the door. Don't go. Don't go. God has already empowered you. He's protecting you to go forward, not go backward. No. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no one can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. See, this is the key here. I put my name there sometime. I don't know how many years I wrote my name right there in that scripture. I put David right there and put it in parentheses. No. See, God knows that we don't have all the strength on our own to do what he called us. That's why he protects us and he empowers us. When we operate, we're not operating our own strength. You see, I can get up in the morning and I hardly got voice. I tell you, I get up in my throat, it's like all sore, like the pollen or something. But the moment I open my mouth to speak the word of God, everything disappears. He empowers me to teach and preach this word. I don't have it all together. But he does. That's why I got to stay connected to. I got to stay reaching out to touch the hem of his garment. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. I got to press on in. Now, look at what he says. He says, oh, my Lord, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. See, we got to keep the word of God. Don't matter what's going on. This is what's going to help us to stand strong. And when the enemy come against us, the word of God is going to help us to stand strong. Matter of fact, the word of God is going to be our battle axe. It's going to be the two-edged sword that we use when we open our mouth. Bishop James talked about it. It's going to be the sword that we use when we open our mouth. We're going to be able to destroy the works of the enemy like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempting Jesus after fasting. Hallelujah. And I tell you all today, if you decide to fast, always keep yourself prepared. Because you might not get too much attacks while you're fasting. You will get some, because I get some when I'm fasting. And sometimes they come from right in my house. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes they come from right in your house. Your family member, your husband, your wife, your children, your sister, your brother, cousin, uncle. You know, it comes from right in your house. Well, you got to always got to do this. They'll question you. And agitate you when you want to spend time with the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. This is the word of God that I'm trying to get into. He said, you kept his word and hast not denied his name. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. They claim they are, when they say they're Jews, they're saying that they're following the Savior. That's what they're saying. That they belong to the Savior, but they're liars. He said that they're liars. This is what he says. They belong to the synagogue of Satan. He said they're liars. He said, behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. God wants them to know that he wants them to know that we belong to him. Do you hear that? God wants the world to know that we belong to him, that he has purchased us. You think it's a small thing to go where you're out there driving that big old rig, Mr. James Jones, and you ride that big rig and you declare that he ignored? You think it's a small thing to God? God looks at that and he records that. The rig is not bigger than God. Not out of people that you're sharing the word to. But God is taking everything into record. He said, look at my son. My son is not afraid. He's tied up under the banner of my blood. He's tied up under the banner of my blood. My blood is keeping him. It's protecting him. I've empowered him to tell the other truckers what I have placed in him. This is the power of God. I'm telling you something. You better get this thing. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Listen, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. See, God knows that we're going to get into places that the enemy going to send temptation. He knows this because he knows the beginning before, he knows the end before the beginning. So he's going to protect us. We're not all that in the bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola. We are striving for holiness. We are not there yet. And as we walk this holy pathway, temptation is going to come. It's going to come in a financial way. It can come in a sexual way. It can come in our materialistic things to distract us, to deceive us. But God said he's going to keep us. Lord God, he said, I'm going to keep you. I'm not going to let you be tempted. Even when it comes, you're not going to pay no attention. He said, Lord, because you're keeping his patience. Listen, man, this is so sweet. Oh, Lord. He said, now what is that? What is that? He said, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which, look, he didn't say maybe. He said, excuse me, which shall come upon all the world. Temptation coming on everybody. Not just those that out there that don't know Christ. He said, upon all the world, save and unsaved. This is what he's saying. He said, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. He said, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hear what God say. Hold fast. Stay connected. Stay focused. Don't waver in your faith. God is saying all this in this word. Know who you are and whose you are. Don't waver. He said, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the holy city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Do you hear that? Then he says to us. He said to us now, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Go back to Zechariah, talking about these witnesses. You are a witness for Christ. He's already protecting you. You know, when I was using crack cocaine, I remember one night, this girl, her father, we used to get high together in his basement, had a very nice house with a big jacuzzi tub. I mean, tub set, had it on the first floor, and it's just like it was the first floor come off, and it had a deck. And then the deck had a sunken floor in a very fancy place, all screened in and everything. It was sits high above the ground, and at least 6-7 feet above the ground. The deck was in there, and had the jacuzzi, 78 people going there at a time, stone people. And I went up to Washington, D.C. with her. She took me. She had one of these Nissan 4x4 pickup trucks. Every time I see those trucks, I remember. It bring me into remembrance of what God has done for me. Way back then, I wouldn't even walk in the spirit or walking in salvation or deliverance. And I went in there to get some crack cocaine for this girl, her money. She a young girl. So I walk up to the guy and tell him, guy, I want a 50. And he took her to roll a little, some little bags, you know, he had in the baggie. Had the individual little bags, you know, in the baggie. Bunch of them. And he gave me a little bag. A little small little bag they had. They wrapped up and burned it in. And when I looked at it, I knew it wasn't crack cocaine. It was wax. And I told him I can't take that back to the girl because she going to think, you know, the street talk is that she going to think that I beat her. That's the word they use. So when I didn't give the money, so I walked away from him. I said, here's your coke. Here's your stuff. And I walked away from him. When I walked away, I hear that stuff. You know how you rock the slide on the gun? And I hear that thing say click, click. Causing a bullet to come up in the chamber. And he kicked off five at me. I could hear them. But I was walking fast away from him. And not one bullet hit me. But I told the girl, she's sitting in the truck with the truck running. But when they kick off, when the guy kick off them shots at me, she put a U-turn. I mean, she just turned around and headed back to Virginia. And she went back to Virginia and tell her father, all who was waiting for me to come in with the cocaine, she and I to come back with the cocaine, that I got shot in Virginia. I mean, in Washington, D.C., off of New York Avenue. God was protecting me, and he was empowering me to be a witness. I didn't know that at that time. So when I showed up in Virginia, I tell you, I had sweat pouring down on me, my armpits. I was soaking wet. If anybody ever see me preaching, you know how I sweat. Well, I was just like I was preaching. I mean, it was just coming off of me everywhere because I started running. I was running. After the shots kick off, I started running then. I didn't feel no burning, so I see they hit me, I started running. But at that time, God was protecting me and empowering me. Here in this text, he says, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet of the in the hand of Zerubbabel, which those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answer I and said unto him, this is Zechariah or Zerubbabel, he's talking to the angel. He said, then answer I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. These are the two witnesses that stand before the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the whole earth. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Oh, Father God, I thank you for this word. When you understand, get to the place that we understand that we are protected, we begin to operate at a different level, in a different realm, in a different dimension. When we understand that we are protected, that we are empowered, do you hear what I'm saying? We begin to operate differently. Reason why we are not operating at that realm or that dimension, because we don't know. We don't know. Here in this text here, if you look, it says the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches or the seven pastors, seven apostles or however you want to see it, seven bishops. These are the seven angels of the churches. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks represents the seven churches. Here, Revelation chapter 11. Let's start right over here. I'm going into another book. Okay. Glory to God, right here. I'm going to go into the Logos Bible for this, because I like it here. The Amplified wanted to. Now, here we see here, we're talking about this very topic that the Lord gave to us on last night. And these are the two witnesses. And these are the two olive branches. Okay. Now, here we're talking our topic today. He will protect you and empower you to be his witness. But while God is protecting us and empowering us, we must know that our protection is coming from God. We must know that we are already protected. The blood of Jesus is covering us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. He is covering us. He's not going to cover us. I know people say, well, he's going to cover us. No, he's not going to cover us. We are already covered. If you have submitted and committed, like Bishop James says, you submitted and committed to following Jesus Christ and honoring the instructions that he gives to us, I mean, not picking up what you feel like a lot of us do, not picking up what we feel like, but following it from the beginning to the end, like he told Ezekiel, eat the whole roll. Don't pick up what you want to eat. You say, I don't feel like eating that. No, you got to eat it all. It's going to be sweet to your mouth, but bitter in your stomach. You know, when it becomes bitter, well, we don't want to continue following. It becomes bitter. We don't want to do what it requires us to do. Well, you know, I got a chance now to be with this fine girl. She got nice silky hair. She's beautiful. Look at her curves. Her ties, her legs are behind. Everything looks so red. She could be like on the Ebony magazine cover. She's so fine. But God says, she's not yours. I've already given you yours. That's why he said, he's going to keep you he's going to keep you from the hour of temptation. See, because when you are being protected and you are empowered by God, temptation is going to come to you. You remember I told you about in Matthew chapter 7, chapter 4, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, devil didn't mess with him too much. Because the Bible didn't tell us that. But after he finished fasting, here comes Satan and showed up and wanted him to turn the stone into bread. See, because he know he's hungry then. Here you are. You were preaching. You just finished doing a revival. You was in Ghana. You was in Nigeria. You was over in the Caribbean. You were somewhere in Europe doing a revival, and people are coming to God. And here this woman going to come out through the crowd and tap you on your shoulder. And she's going to tell you stuff like, I've been watching you. I've been watching you. You are handsome. You're your 70s. And she's telling you that you're so fine. No, your head, everything goes through your head. Your head's bigger. You feel like Goliath. Your head's so big on top of your shoulders. This woman is telling you all that stuff. Temptation. But the Spirit says, he says, I'm going to keep you from the hour. That hour, that day of temptation, he's not going to let you fall into the trap of the enemy. Here, in this book, he says, and a measuring rod similar in appearance to a staff was given to me, saying, get up. Remember what he told Zechariah? He said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it, and leave out the courtyard outside of the temple, and do not measure it. See, the courtyard is where the Gentiles, not the Jewish people. They're hanging out in the courtyard. It's not considered holy. Hallelujah. It's not considered a holy place. But he tells them to measure the temple. Measure the temple. Glory to God. Take an inventory of the temple. He says, but he says, and do not measure the courtyard, because it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months, 3.5 years. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,206 days. Same thing, 3.5 years. Now he says, dress in sackcloth. No, they are dressed in an outfit of humility. We want to have sharp skin suits. We want to have the best Gucci outfit. We want to have alligator crocodile shoes. We want to have the best wig. We want to, Lorena, we call it. We want to have Jones of New York. We want to have all this stuff when we're going out to be a witness for the Lord. To be a witness, to be a true witness of the Lord. But watch these two witnesses. They're dressed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees that we mentioned back over in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. These two witnesses. And the two lampstands that stand before the Lord are of the earth. They are the two witnesses. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire comes out of their mouth and consume their enemies. See, God has protected them and has already empowered them to be witnesses. That's what we're talking about today. If anyone wants to harm them in this way, he must be killed. God has already set up great protection for each and every one of us. Glory to God. But we got to know it. A lot of people say, well, I'm not going down to the Caribbean to preach. I don't feel I'm called to go. How do you know where you preach? If God tell you go and preach, he says to go preach. And now people are waiting, people are waiting, people are waiting, and they've been preaching for 30, 40 years, and so they're waiting for God to tell them where to go. Yeah, I'm just going to wait here. I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying here in my little neighborhood. I'm not going nowhere. God's going to tell me, well, you're going to be staying in your neighborhood. Jesus begged them to come out the boat. Come. He says, I. Peter said, hey, but you beg me, and I come. He said, it is I, Peter. It's I. And Peter stepped over the side and walked on water. The other ones inside the boat shaking in the legs. They're shaking. Shaking in the boots. We got to go. We only, I'll tell you the truth. A lot only want to go, apostles. A lot of them only want to go when they hear his money. They don't want to go because they are anointed, appointed, and approved by God. If you say we're going to give them 5,000 to preach, they're willing to come. And he said, well, we're just a small church. We only have we don't even have 5,000 people. No, they said no. We had a preacher from Louisiana, and you all know, I think he's from Louisiana somewhere over there. He was supposed to come over here and preach for us. Yeah, and he said, no. He said, look, I got the big bus and I got a big craft. He says, we don't go unless we get $35,000. He says, I got our big craft and I got this big, he got this $1 million bus. We got still a bus. Yes. Man, we could afford to give that. We already had like 75 people, you know, so we could do it. He never come to Boston. You know, the one who said, open the floodgates, you know, and let it rain, you know, the guy. Well, you know, some folk don't want to go. And they make the records because they're making the money. And it's good to make money. God wants to bless all of us. But we can't let just the money be the objective. It cannot be the main objective for us as believers must be souls. Anything else after that is a bonus. I need some money. You need some money. We all need some money. But we need to win souls. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. Here he says, and if anyone wants to harm them in this way, he must be killed. These have the authority to shut the sky so that it does not rain during the days of the prophecy and they have authority over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they wish. Now, you know, when Elijah stopped the water, stopped the sky, the water was not going to, rain was not going to fall. God was still providing for Elijah. But he stopped the clouds from forming rain clouds for 3.5 years so he could continue the ministry that God had given him. Now, when he wanted to rain to come, now he says that it was rain would come. And when he sent his servant up to look for the cloud, for the rain cloud, because he wants a witness. He said, "No rain gonna come." He talked to God, just unlock the cloud. And he sent his servant up there 7 times. The servant goes up. We talk about seven angels of the house of the Lord. Seven spirits, 7 eyes of God, 7 spirits of God. All this is in the book. He sent his protege up to the mountain 7 times. I can imagine that young man going up on the hill. He come back down, sir. He said, "My Lord, I haven't seen anything." He said, "Just go on back up there. It's coming." See, because the man of God knows that it's coming. He has thought, he has spoken to the master. He has spoken to the chief commander. He's spoken to him in prayer. He's already talked to the Lord. And when you have spent time with the Lord and you have spoken with the Lord speaks to your spirit, don't you get tired of well doing? You shall reap if you faint not. See what happened is we are speaking to the Lord, and because we haven't moved right away, we give up. We try to help God. We're like Sarah and Abraham. We want to help God. God said, "No, I tell you that. I'm going to do this for you, son, daughter. I'm going to do this for you. Just wait and watch. Just stay in faith." And one time, the young man went up, and the 7th time he go up there, he saw a little cloud like a hand. And that's all Elijah wanted to know. He said, "I saw a little cloud the size of a hand of a man." Elijah said, "That's it. That's all I need. I don't need too much. God don't need too much to send the rain that we need. He don't need too much to bless us as his servants. We just got to follow his instructions. When the people come against you, your ministry, God said, it shall be killed." This is what he says. God has given you power. God has protected you. Your ministry is protected. And I know you might say, "Well, the ministry is the building I have with all these people here." Well, that's part of it. But your ministry is you. It's really you. Because every time you walk, you're ministering. Every time you leave your home, you're ministering. Every time you get in your car, you're ministering. You know why? Because somebody's watching you. They're reading you. Father said, "Yeah, you may be the only Bible that somebody see. You may be the only Jesus that somebody hear." You're ministering. Every time you walk out your house, you go try to sit on your front porch, you're ministering. Somebody said, "Well, you know, I see that man comes out, that woman comes out and sit on her front porch, and she's a pastor, he's a pastor. Man, he don't never go nowhere. When his wife goes somewhere or her husband goes somewhere, she don't never have no young man coming through the side door. He don't never have no young women coming through the front door or back door." You're ministering. They see your wife leave. They see your husband leave. You're ministering. Hallelujah. But vice versa. Now, every time your husband leave or wife leave, they see this young man come or young woman come to you. No, you still minister, but you minister in sin. And they say, and when they have complete their testimony, these are the two witnesses, the beast that come up from the abyss, that's the abyss is beyond hell, will make war with them and will conquer them and will kill them. Don't mean because you're a witness that you can't be killed. I want you to understand this. It's right here in the text. We are talking today about God, Yeshua, will protect you and empower you to be his witness.
You cannot, we cannot be a true witness for Yeshua, for God, for Jesus Christ, without having his power and his authority. It's impossible. He said in John, chapter 17, I think it's book 22, he says, Father, the glory that I had with you, I have given to them that they may become one as we are one. The glory is that anointing, that a power, so that we can be one, so we can preach, so we can be on one accord. We're not striving for that. We ought to be striving for that anointing, that power that caused us to become one, that there be no division among us. How long did the apostles stay up in the upper room? Arguing who is going to be the leader, who is going to be the least, and who is going to be the greatest out of them, because everybody wants to be the leader instead of working together. We can't work together unless I'm the leader, unless you're the leader. That's why I don't have no leader. We are watchmen. We are watchmen. All of us are watchmen. That's why I let everybody share. I like everybody to share. And if the Lord tell me, I'm prophet, you can tell. If I just can tell you. If the Lord tell me don't minister for a week or 2 weeks, I just don't say nothing. I might put a penny in our tent or something, but I don't get up and preach a sermon like I'm teaching here now. I just shut my mouth and let somebody teach, because we all are watchmen. Somebody want to always put yourself on. You got, God will give you 10 preachers to assist you. And every Sunday morning you preach. Every Wednesday night you preach. Every Saturday you preach. Every Sunday you preach. But why did he give you these apples for? You said Moses had all these elders. And Moses was doing all the work. He started to get tired. He started to be worn out. What is Father Lord told him? He said, look, man, you need to get some of them elders to help. God told him the same thing. Man, get 70 elders and let them do some, let them do the small stuff. Let them do that stuff that tears you up. You ran over here to Sister John's house, over here to Brother John's house, down to Peter's house, and all these places you're going trying to help people. Man, these are what these people should be doing. But you're trying to do everything yourself because you're the pastor. No, God gave you pastors and elders to help you. Let them help. And then once they feel like they're doing something, guess what? They're going to get closer to you. Because they're doing something to become part of the ministry. I have one preacher, he preached every Sunday. Every Sunday. Every Sunday he preached. Every Wednesday he preached. Every Saturday he preached. They have a revival. He do all the revival by himself. But here, so this is my elder over here. This is my deacon over here. This is my usher over here. You know, he said that stuff. But he did all the work himself. And he said, why don't waste your time? Look. God said, look. Well, let's get this thing over with. This is not a lot of word, but it's a good word. It's a strong word. Listen to what she said. Jesus said, he said, and when they have completed their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will make war with them and will conquer them and will kill them, and their heads and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is called symbolically Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And those from people and tribes and languages and nations will see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. Remember, everything is happening 3 and a half. Got 3 and a half years, 3 days and a half. And it's representing something. And he says, and they will not allow their dead bodies to be placed in a tomb. See, they are in the street as an example. They're God's servants. They're God ministers in the earth realm. Folk going to look at you when you go through. When you're going through a tough time and it seems like things are happening to your family, happening to you, happening to your friends, and folk will just be watching. It's like everything is becoming dead now. But God says it can only last 3 and a half days. After that, everything going to come alive. Watch this. Watch this. Glory to God. They will not be allowed to place the bodies in the tomb. And those who live on the earth will rejoice over them. and will celebrate and will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who live on the earth. See, when you preach in the gospel, the true gospel, and follow the truth of God's word, folk won't think that you become a torment to the spirit man. They can't stand you. They can't wait for something bad to happen to you. Matter of fact, they're praying all the time that something happened to you. While you're in that airplane going somewhere to minister God, they're praying for the airplane to drop down in the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, or somewhere. The God said, no. You have to complete your testimony. See, because your ministry is also your testimony. You know that? Also your testimony. So you got to complete your testimony. He said, after the 3.5 days, the death of life from God entered into them. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. See, when folks saying that they thought they kept you down in the grave, they thought they kept you in that dead place, but God give you new life. My Lord, they thought that all was all ended. They thought that everything you had was just going to just be demolished, was just going to be abandoned. But God said, no, I'm not finished with you yet. I got to let them see that you belong to me, and I'm yours. Hallelujah. So God sent breath. You thought your ministry was going to die, but I got news for you today. Your ministry coming alive. New life is coming to your ministry. It looked like everybody wait, but more people are coming. Glory to God. Listen to God speak to us today. Hallelujah. This blessed me last night as I was running through this text. Glory to God. He said they stood on their feet. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in a cloud. And their enemies watched them. And at that hour, a great earthquake took place. And a tenth of the city collapsed. What has complained with a tenth? A tithe. The tenth represents the tithe. A tenth of them, the earth, the city collapsed. And 7,000 people were killed by the earthquake. You hear that? 7,000. And the rest became terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. I want to tell you today that your life, your ministry, will give glory to the Lord, more glory to the Lord than you ever expect. It's coming. You've been preaching for a long time. But now the true fire is going to begin to flow out of your belly. All that you have eaten over the years, all of that heavenly food you have eaten over the years is now going to begin to regurgitate as you open your mouth. This is a prophetic word. Verse 15 says, the seventh angel blew the trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Listen to me. See, because the witnesses have declared Jesus as Lord and Savior. They have declared who he is. What he has done. This is what we got. We are witnesses for him, not for ourselves, not for our family members, not for my pastor. I love my pastor. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm a witness for Christ. We are witnesses for him. We're not concerned. My house, my car, my... Man, what? That's only a loan. God said, use that stuff while you're on earth to get you from point A to point B. I just looked at my car just now and said, somebody messed my hood up. I mean, rub something on there, mess the paint up. Well, I said, pray, Lord, I thank you. Because God will make a way. I'll paint the whole thing. He says, watch this. And the 24 elders who are seated on the throne before God fell down on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God, all powerful, to one who is, the one who is and the one who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time for the dead to be judged and to give their reward to your slaves, the prophets. See, after all this happened, rewards are coming for us. That's why we're witnessing. This is why we're witnessing every day. We're going to enjoy some stuff. We're going to get some money. We're going to enjoy some riches while we're here. But we're looking for the ones that we're going to get when we get into the heavenly realm, when we get with Jesus. When he purified the heaven and the earth, new earth, new heaven. He said this. He said, don't let no one cause you to vacate your crown, to lose your crown. So we got to stay on this righteous path of declaring what thus said the Lord. He said the nations were angry and were wrathed, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead to be judged, and to give their reward to your slaves, the prophets, and to the saints, and to the ones who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And the temple of God in heaven was opened, and the ark of the covenant appeared in the temple. And there were lightnings, and sounds, and thunders, and earthquakes, and large hail. Let me tell you something. This thing is getting serious. It's going to get serious. A lot of folk are saying some stuff, and they think that they're running something here on the earth. They think that they're in control. This is why God tells us, he's telling us in the word, we got to go over to Isaiah. We got to go to Zechariah again, Ezekiel, 2 Kings, Jeremiah, Exodus, 1 Kings, Daniel, chapter 7. We got to go to Isaiah chapter 1 again, go to Ezekiel 37. We got to go to 2 Kings again, go to Psalm. We got to go to Daniel again, got to go down to Psalms again, and go to Kings and Revelation. All this stuff we got to do, we got to do another part of this next week. If the Lord say the same, we on this side of the grave. It's important that we know that God is depending on us to be the true witnesses. We got to be the true witnesses. We got to stand up in the light. And we got to be the light in the midst of this darkened world. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be the light. It's time out, and I say it all the time, it's time out for plain church. We got to be the church. Hallelujah. We are carrying this mantle of heaven here on earth that God has placed upon us. He has placed a heavenly mantle on us while we are here on earth so that we can testify and glorify and edify. Oh God, we got to do this thing here in this earth realm, right here in this earth realm. Can't wait till you get there to praise him. Start praising him right here. Start glorifying him right here, right now, and edify your brothers and sisters. Encourage us. Encourage one another to continue on this path that gives glory and honor to God. You got to stay here. Stay in this, on this track. This is what God is calling for us to do. We got to stay in this vein. Hallelujah. God is dependent on us. Hallelujah. We're the ones he's dependent on. He's not dependent on the one that's living a hellish lifestyle. He's dependent on the one who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Who truly knows Jesus as Lord? He's dependent on us to testify, to glorify, and to edify. We're talking about you're protected. Don't be afraid. You have been empowered. It's in your mouth. He says, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. So you got to know that the power is already in your belly. What you now got to do is open your mouth. What we got to do is open our mouth. When we open our mouth, then the power that God has placed in us begin to flow out of our mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. And, Lord, we can't say enough because you have done more than enough. But, Lord, we thank you for giving us a voice in this earth realm. That, Father, we have no fear. We trust in the protection that you have placed upon our lives and the power that you have placed within us. Lord, we know that you're blessing us so that we can be a blessing. We had a lady caught last night about a little job. Not a big job, but it's all right. You know, you can't despise small beginnings. You got to take the small jobs in order to get the big jobs. So we ask you, Father God, that you continue to bless us so that we can be a blessing. And Lord, even as I read on the YouTube that this
the funds are going to be released so that we can help those that are less fortunate than us. Lord, we are thanking you. And we know, even as the apostle says, it cannot be released until you say so. We are trusting that you would say so. Oh, Lord, that you would do so, that these funds can come to us and that we don't have to no longer live from check to check or day to day. But, Lord, we know that we have more than enough that we can do. We can do more. And we have more, we can do more. And, Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to order our steps in your word. Continue to protect us from evil. Keep us from evil. Lord, let us not get into temptation that we be overthrown, oh God. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop. I see you on there. Come on in. Bishop. Well, we see a lot of people on the line. We're going to pray and open the line. We're going to pray and open the line. Oh, let me just, I got it already here right now anyway. Well, the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are so excited about the word of God. God just impregnate us with his love and his mercy, his grace, to reach out and touch somebody all the time with the word. We just had a call from Kenya. We couldn't take it. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, that means you, I, all of us have sinned. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is in Romans 6:23, and the other scripture, all has fallen short. It's in Romans 3:23. The Bible says that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. It's so important that we think about our life after we leave this world. Because a lot of time you hear people saying that you only have one life to live, and once you leave, once you die, that's it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible talks about a second death. And that death is when he condemns you. If your life was a sinful lifestyle, it condemns you to eternal damnation, where you would enter into the lake of fire and brimstone, where Satan and his agents, they all are. And you don't want to be there, because you will be tormented day and night. There's no peace. There's no rest. There's no water. There's no cooling. But you want to get where Jesus says, eternal life. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Also said that God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. The Bible also said that man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. So important. You must understand that God has made a way for us out of this hedonistic world, that we don't have to live this life that we've been living forever. But he gave us access to the heavenly realm. He has given us access where we can come and worship with the 24 elders, bow down before him. He's given us access to the tree of life, to the fountain of life, through the sacrifice that Jesus made at the cross. A lot of times we think that They just took him, put him there, and he had to stay there. But no, he could have come down at any time. He could have called a legion of angels, and they would have come and assist him. But because he loved us and he was an obedient son to his Father, he stood on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was the love that he had for the world and the obedience he had for his Father that kept him on the cross. And now he wants us to come to that place where we would surrender all will to his will. And you know, that's the hardest thing for us, for people to do, and that's to give up control. We don't want to give up control. Even when you get married, you don't want to give up control. You say, well, I'm my own woman. I'm my own man. And that's where the confliction comes, because nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to truly submit to some person else. But if you want to live a holy life and get to see Jesus, you're going to have to submit your will and allow him to lead you and guide you. Allow him to instruct you in the way that you should live. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, Peter said to them, he says that to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, when we step into that realm of salvation, accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, surrendering our life and committing our lives to him, it doesn't only affect us, but it affects all who be around us. I know I got family members in the Caribbean, and when they hear that I am a preacher, I mean, whew, I remember when I was back there a few years ago, and my sister, knowing that I was a pothead and a cokehead and all that stuff, and she saw me and hear the way I was speaking. And then she see that church would call me to come and minister while I was there for a couple of weeks. She was surprised because she saw that there was a change that took place in my life. Even when I went home another year and I did this marriage sermon from one of my daughters, they said there was something else happening. See, because I had gone to that place that I was committing my life. I wasn't totally committed. You know, this commitment is a continuous commitment. People say, well, I commit my life to the Lord. No, it's just like your repentance. You have to, each day you got to commit. Each day you got to repent. Each day. Because every day something is coming at you to break your commitment, to break your focus, to break your connection. So each day I'm committing more and more to the Lord. Every day. Every day. So he says, and with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and many, and in praise. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believe were together and had all things common. That's the place that God wants us as his church to be. He wants us to come together and have all things in common. That is where we have the same mindset, the same love for each other and for others, not only for the people in the church that are within the house of the Lord, but for those that are without the house. See, if we don't show them love, they're not going to come to us. If we stand up like we are the light on the hill, and that's it. No, we are the light on the hill, but the light on the hill has to come down. The light has to shine the way that those in the valley will see the light. But we can't keep the light for ourselves. We have to let this light shine that they will see it. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name on the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. No one cometh to the Father except through him. No one can get to him. He's a pathway to the Father. Many leaders, great men of God that are preaching the gospel, are preaching that there's many ways to God today, and it's causing confusion in the body of believers in the churches. You know, because you're reading that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through him. And then you're hearing other people saying that's supposed to be witnesses for the kingdom, and they're saying that there's many other ways. You know, we have to have all things common. We have to have the same mindset, the same spirit, the same heart, worshiping the same Lord, the same baptism, not a whole lot of stuff, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have to have Jesus. Everybody got to come there. But a lot of people are going to take time, so we got to pray for them to get to that place where they recognize what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 28 and 19. You know, so what Jesus said it in Matthew 28 and 19, but you haven't got the analogy, you haven't got the terminology, what he was saying. Once you get it, then you will, it'll come off the page. Yes, he said Father, Son, singular, Holy Spirit. He is talking about titles. And the Bible said that he is the fullness of the Godhead. Jesus is. Hallelujah. But he said that, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Don't matter how well that we do this thing. Don't matter how well we do it. We are only standing here because of his grace, not because I've been to school of theology, not because I got some plaques on the wall. That don't make me different. What makes me different is the blood. What makes us different is the blood that was shed at Calvary for all transgression, for all iniquity. Hallelujah. For all redemption. That blood was shed. Not because that you got a PhD in theology. It's the blood. It's the blood that makes a difference. We want to come underneath the blood. The Bible said that when the death angel saw the blood, he had to keep on moving. It's the blood, and the blood that was the blood of goats and rams, but the blood of Jesus is more powerful than that blood. That's the blood that he's covering us with. That's the protection I'm talking about. He protects us with the blood, and he empowers us with his spirit. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to get to know him today by giving your life to him, just surrendering. And say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word. I heard the word today, and I want to give my life. As a matter of fact, I'm giving my life. I'm turning my life over to you today, Lord, because I realize that I am missing so much. After hearing this word today, I realize I'm missing so much. I want to be a witness for the kingdom here on earth while I'm in this earthly body. I want to be a witness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever, that means anybody. See, Jesus came to die for the prostitute. He came to die for the homosexual. He came to die for the lesbians. He came to die for the fornicator, for the adulterer, even for the one that committed murder. Matter of fact, he came to die for everyone that committed sin. He came to die for the sinner. And if you feel that you are whole, you don't need him. If you're feeling well, you don't go to the doctor. But no one can get whole enough that you don't need Jesus. I'm saying this, I'm using this analogy because I want to get this point over to you. If you feel you're so perfect, you don't need Jesus, guess what happens? You will end up in hell. Because every person on this earth, in this earthly realm, needs Jesus. You need a Savior. You might say, well, one woman was telling the evangelist, I feel I'm a good person. And the evangelist said, have you ever stolen? She said, yes. She said, have you ever blasphemed about the Holy Ghost? She said, yeah. He said, would you curse using your mother's name? And the girl said, no, I wouldn't use, because that's my mama. He said, well, have you cursed using God's name? In the name of God, cuss. She said, yeah, I did. And then he said to her, does that mean that you're a blasphemer, adulterer,
and a thief and all these things he calls out to her. And she stood there with her face stretched long. And this is from the Living Waters Evangelist Pastor. Because a lot of times we try to weigh ourselves as we think that we are so good, but none of us are good. We're not good enough. We cannot meet God's standard in our own. We're only in the right standing through the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ. We can stand up. The blood that covers us puts us in that place. But in our own, we are just like filthy rags. And a little girl, she's supposed to be a Catholic. But then she realized that she was a sinner because she has done all of these things. And the man said, you really need to receive Jesus as your Lord, confess your sin, and give God your heart. And she wanted to know how she can give God a heart. And it's simple. Just by submitting to his will, his way, and following his instructions, obeying his laws, his statutes, and the commandments. Paul says, because I know a lot of people say we're under grace, and that's true. But if people are continuing to sin and keep going back, say, I'll go back and talk back to God because I'm under grace. You're going to keep on sinning. Well, one day you're going to be sinning, and he's going to call you out of this world, out of life into death. And you will end up in hell because, you know, the time you got caught is just like somebody trying to walk across the bridge, and when they get there, the bridge is missing two parts. So when you try to put your foot out, you fall right down in the ravine and break your neck because you thought the bridge was still whole. But they remove two parts for repair. Now you get to riding your motorbike or your car, and then when you get there, there's no more road. And boom, you're going down, you know. I know we got a high bridge over in where we're coming in from New York or going to New York. There's a bridge that is like hundreds or thousands of feet high, and the water's way down there. When I get to that bridge, I drive a little faster. I try to get across fast. So how do you know that I can only go across fast? Because God allowed the bridge to stand. But the bridge can still fall at any time if God wants to. Jesus is the bridge for us, and he's never going to move. When we get there, we can always cross over. He's the bridge from this world into the eternal world, everlasting life. And you must give your life to him. Here you say this little prayer with me. Yes, the Lord Jesus, I heard the word today, and I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Today, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you with great expectations, because if I die today or the next minute, I don't want to go to hell, but I want to be saved. So I've lived my life contrary to your holy instructions. And as David said in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Lord Jesus, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord Jesus, I come with expectation. Say it with me. And say, Lord,
I'm surrendering my life to you. I now denounce Satan and all of his agents. I believe in the finished work of Calvary, the blood that was shed at Calvary, the nails that pierced your hands, and the whips that tore your skin. I believe in the crown that pierced your brow. And all of this was done for my redemption. I receive you into my heart right now, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. Well, if you just said that and you believe it in your heart, what you said out of your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. And the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be recovered. Now, you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, or someone who knows how to baptize. And you got to be specific, because people will baptize you any way they want to. But according to this book that we are studying here, the King James Version in Acts 2 and 38, the apostles baptized in Jesus' name. But don't be argumentative with the pastor if they say, well, they don't baptize in Jesus' name, they baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If the pastor say, they say, well, that's all right, because I still got to get my family and friends and co-workers and even my enemies together. I got to invite my guests that I want to be witnesses to this great day of my life. And look for a person that will baptize you in Jesus' name, because it's your salvation. You're responsible for your own salvation. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're responsible, not the pastor, not the preacher, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your boss. But study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding that of the scriptures and the person of Jesus that we minister about and the apostles' doctrine. It's the same doctrine. And study the word. And then before you get baptized, invite your family and friends and co-workers, people to see. You want them to witness. You want witnesses to this time. And then after you get the witnesses and you go down that water we call the liquid grave, you are just telling the world that you are dying to the world. You're making an open declaration or proclamation that you have given your life to Christ Jesus and that you are dying to this world and that you will live for Christ Jesus. You go down in that water grave and you come back alive to Christ. Then when you come up out that water, you want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the doctrines, true doctrine. True doctrine make true people. See, so you want to get yourself involved. And then when you get into the house of the Lord, make sure you start doing something. Don't sit down and become idle. Just get activate who you are, who you're called to be. I started cleaning the church. I started cleaning the bathroom, ran the vacuum in the sanctuary, cleaned the vacuum, set the chairs up and all that stuff. I did all that, you know, because I want to be part of what God was doing. I even pick up the cigarette butts and the beer cans that people pass by the church and drop up on the church ground, beer balls, all that stuff. I should do soda balls. I should pick up all that stuff and put in the trash can. And some people pass say, well, you don't have to do that, Dave. You know, you're a minister. When I became a minister, I was still doing the same thing. And I said, no, but this is God's house. And I don't want when people come to the house, place of worship, that they see all this stuff on the grounds. You know, and this was not coming from the church folk. It was coming from people just passing by and throwing their stuff on the ground. So, yep, so we thank God. We are not going to be on tomorrow, because tomorrow morning I have to drive out to Northampton, which is a few hours away, to pick up my granddaughter from college and bring her home. So we are not going to be on tomorrow. We'll be back here on Sunday. Not Sunday, on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, we'll be back here on Saturday. And no, you know, we got to take the granddaughter's college. We got to bring her back from college. So we're going to bring her home, and then in a few months, we got to take her back. then she'll be doing her last year. Next year, I believe, will be her last year. And she's doing great. She's an A-plus student. And I post about her because we lost her mother in 2017. She went into the hospital for a very simple situation. And she never got out of the hospital, 38 years old. And I still feel her presence, you know, and miss her. Glory to God. But we thank God for you all. And I want to open the line now for if anyone wants to come and add to the sermon and encourage the people of God, you can come on in. The line is now open.
Thank God for the word today. Apostle Kenneth, yesterday, I thank God for the word. All this week, I thank God for the word. A lot of times I can work and can't get on her like I want to. I don't have time to do a listen and then get off and get back to work. So I just thank God for the word. It was good. And I enjoyed every bit of all this week. Listen to the word yesterday, listen to the woman of God group. The word was good. Marshall words and brought the word today. Was on my soul. I just thank God, be able to come on here and feel the encouragement of God going to empower us. And that's a blessing. But we need empower this hour. We need the power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you're going to make it in this hour, you're going to need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have it, you're going to go out there. Please seek for the Holy Ghost. I often say that sometimes when I come on here. Ask God to refill you. If you don't feel like you have it, you might not speak in tongues the first time. And that doesn't seem like you got people speaking tongues to flush you out. But, it's how you live, the lifestyle. But I'm telling you, the word is good. And I tell you, we really need the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that God is going to anoint. The Bible says, men are called for your chosen. And he's going to anoint the right people to speak the gospel. Got so many, there's so many that claim the name of Jesus and not preaching the gospel and warning people that Jesus soon to come, warning people that you can't live any kind of way and say you're a child of God. Like I think I overheard you say, in a time now where, they say you didn't come to God any kind of way and everybody going to heaven. And you can come God your own way. And you got to read the word, read the Bible. And you got to really get full of that Bible. You can't read it, get audio. I say that all the time, too. Get audio. Get your Bible, read that Bible, because you're in a time now where you got the world leaders that have come together and made counsel together against the church. And they're doing everything they can. They want to get rid of that Bible. So you need the Holy Ghost and you need to get full of that word so you're going to be deceived. Because you're in an hour now where so many people are being deceived by this doctrine, this new doctrine. Do what God will. Do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. And it's going to take the anointing and power of God to cast out all the chains of the enemy. Everything he's trying to do to our children, everything he's trying to do to the church. So God, you're going to really need the anointing. Power of God. I was just talking to probably as early as today. I was thinking about the story of Moses when he told them, because you're in a time now where there's so many things are happening and you need the blood of Jesus to really cover you. And you think about the children of Israel in the time when they were in Egypt, in the time of Pharaoh, and God told them to get the lamb and get the lamb or cut the lamb again, take the blood and put it on their doorpost. And then after he told them to take the blood and put it on the doorpost, he told them to eat all the meat, eat all of it. He said, eat all the meat, don't leave nothing left. And if you take that and you look at that, that symbolizes the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ. You got to get full of the anointing and full of the power of Jesus Christ, which is his blood. Then you got to eat the Word of God. The Word of God is like a lamb. The Word of God is a lamb to your feet. You need the Word of God. You need the power of God. If you're going to make it this hour, you got to have a prayer life. You got to fast. You got to stay before God every day. Like the man, apostle was saying, you got to be, every day you got to search your heart. Every day you got to make sure that you're in the right place with God every day. Every day. So I just thank God for that. I'm looking for God to move and bring this anointing, because we really need anointing. And then God, I'm telling you, we really need the anointing of God if we're going to make it, man. Because I'm telling you, the enemy, he is not playing. The devil's not playing. And, you know, we can't play with him. We got to give all his tools back. Everything he got, give it back to him. That way God can really use you. That God can use you in this hour. So I just thank God for the word. Father Kim, you've been encouraged, man. God going to see you some help. You know, and sometimes you feel like you're by yourself. But God, he already knows. You know what I'm saying? God knows. And he's going to strip with you. And he's going to strip with the ones that are with you. And he's going to help. God will be able to finish doing his ministry that he's placed in you. So you be encouraged, man of God. It's going to be all right. And everybody that's on here, every man or woman of God, on here, you be encouraged. But God got our back. He said, if we got light ourselves in him, he'll give our heart desire. And so we be encouraged. I pray that I said something to help someone today. And y'all have a blessed day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We pray God continue to protect you and continue to empower you while you're out there in the field. As always, he keep angels watching over you traveling to and fro, that you always make it back home to your wife and your family. That's my prayer for you. And I know God has already answered that because he's been protecting you. You haven't been just going there by yourself. You've been going there with the angels of God encamped around your rig. Believe what I'm telling you. He's been taking care of you. He's been watching over you. And he will continue to watch over you as you keep him Lord of your life. Hear me this day. The line is open. Thank you so much. I appreciate you much. The line is open. Well, there's a lot of people on the line, and thank you, Minister Jones. We're going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given to us, and we thank you for those that were able to come on and hear the word, even though they didn't respond. We know, God, that the word is hidden in their hearts, and they will not sin against you. Lord, we ask that as we leave this line today, but never your presence, that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to protect us, continue to shield us, O God, continue to keep us under the shadow of your wings, O God. And Lord, we ask for your continue to empower us with more and more and more, that we will have more than enough to glorify your name, to edify your body, and to terrify your enemy in the name of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide with us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak in somebody's ear gate today that will stop them from committing suicide, will stop them from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Have a blessed evening, a safe evening. And stay in the presence of the Lord. Continue to give God glory. You can make some short prayers all through the day. You don't have to be long and drawn out. Just make some short. Just say, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for this minute, Lord. Thank you for blessing me to be a blessing, Lord. I just thank you for making ways when it seems to be no way. Just thank him. Just praise God for that. And we just thank God for each and every one of you all. I just love you guys so much. I know people are busy doing stuff and doing that. And some working. But we thank God for you all hearing this word. And if you didn't hear it all, go back and listen to it. It is God's word, and the word is already blessed. It just lets you know that God is protecting us, and he's already empowered us to be his witness. I love you guys so much. All right. Bye-bye. See you all on Saturday afternoon, not tomorrow, because I got to go out of town and pick up my granddaughter. God bless you. Bye-bye.